read about it in an element of a magazine I get. Mother had taken her little ones out for dinner. And the six-year-old had asked if it'd be all right if he said grace. And so he said, well, sure. So he started to pray. He said, dear God, God is good. God is great. Thank you, God, for the food. And I'll be more thankful if Mom would buy us some ice cream for dessert today. Amen. About that time, people around were chuckling and, you know, those who could hear the prayer, thinking, well, that was cute. Well, another lady sitting just next door said, wow, that's what's wrong with this country. Kids don't even know how to pray. Praying for ice cream. I know. Oh, she said, can't believe it. Well, the little boy heard that, and of course, he went over to Mom crying and thinking he had done something wrong. Is God mad at me? Did I say something wrong, Mom? And she took her course and tried to comfort him, reassure him that, no, you had a great prayer, son. You had a great prayer. And about that time, an elderly gentleman comes over and takes the little boy by the arms and by the shoulders and looks at him and kind of winks at him and says, I just want you to know. He said, God really believed and thought that was a terrific prayer. Really? Oh, cross my heart and hope to die. But he said, no, it's too bad, isn't it, that woman over there never has ever thought about praying to God for ice cream. You know, ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. So, you know, Mom could not refuse, but she bought him ice cream for dessert. And as they're sitting there, the little boy looks at his sundae and evaluates it for a minute. Then a big smile comes on his face. He gets up, walks over, bowl of ice cream, sets it in front of the lady. Says, hey, this is yours. This is yours. I want you to have it. He says, you know, ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. And my soul right now feels great. Making the most of your prayer life. There's really aspects of what we need. The most beautiful time in your life ought to be when you go to be with the Lord in prayer. The aspect of that is unbelievable. You see, prayer is God's voice in response to ours. And that's the essential part of it. That you do have a God in heaven that is listening and waiting to respond to our prayers. The Bible makes it very plain. You do not have because you do not ask. The very breath of prayer, I believe, is what sustains the body of Christ, the church today. The aspects of it, there's no way in the world you and I can confront the devil, the world, the things in the element of which he is the power and the prince of, if we are not really spending time praying to the God of heaven, the universal God who created all things, to move and do his will through the church, the body of Christ today. See, prayer is our most powerful God-given means of effecting change. It can affect change in your life and life of other people. It can affect change in the church. It certainly can affect change in the world. That's why God, through Timothy, Paul to Timothy said, pray for those who are in authority, governors, etc., etc. Why? So that you might lead a peaceful life. So God has challenged us as the people of God to be praying for those who are in political power today. Prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold of God's willingness. Remember, your prayers go to God like a sweet-smelling aroma, incense, filling a golden bowl. The prayers of the saints enter into the very presence of God and filling golden bowls of incense, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. I spent time trying to put this series together, and I spent more time praying about it than I have anything else. Reason being, you know, as you get through a point of time and you realize the war that's going on in the political world, you see our battle is against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And the element, of course, is that it doesn't, not, it impacts the church even in more ways than what we would like to admit. And so I really believe that if anything else, I need to, and I pray, that I can challenge you to enhance your prayer life. To enhance it in a powerful way and challenging you that you make your life nothing more than a life of prayer. and extending your heart to God individually and as a congregation, if we're going to do the will of God, we have to lift it up and undergird every aspect by the power that God has given us to approach his throne in faith and prayer and ask, seek, and knock. That we would be convicted today, if you will, and prayfully, that you and I would be convicted that prayer is the most important time of your life. If you want to say, what is the most important thing I can do in life? The most important thing you can do in life is pray. Pray to God. It's the most productive, it will be the most beneficial, and it will be the most fulfilling use of your time. That beautiful garden of prayer. I can't wait to see those flowers blooming like that here in a few more days, right? Huh? The aspects of that is unbelievable. I believe Jesus is our example. He's the model of everything that we are to do. How often did Jesus pray, do you know? Have you gone through the Gospels and looked at it? Well, just let me share just briefly. He prayed before he went up into the mountain to be tempted of the devil. Even fasted. He prayed all night long before he went out and started choosing his disciples. He prayed for God to guide and direct him. He prayed before he performed many, many of his miracles. He prayed before he fed the 5,000. He prayed before he rose Lazarus from the grave. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed when he established the Lord's Supper. He established it in prayer, did he not? He prayed. He prayed his priestly prayer in John 17. He prayed for his disciples. He then prayed for us. He prayed for us who would believe on him through the words. You think Satan knows how people are made believers today? Huh? It's through the preaching of the word. Remember Jesus said the sower went forth to sow the seed. The seed was the word of God, right? Right? And the first illustration is a beaten path, right? And the birds come and pluck out the seed. And when he explained it, he said those birds are the devil who comes and plucks out the seed so they will not believe. What happens when we stop preaching the word of God in churches today? What happens when we become melodrama and we're going to use the secular world's methods to bring people to the assembly so we can have big churches? I believe Satan's winning a big battle. Because the only sword of the Spirit is the word of God, and we cannot win against him if we don't know how to use the sword. Amen? Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling, dividing the word of truth. He prayed. He prayed and prayed. He prayed that those who believe on him through the apostles' teaching would be one as the Father and he are one. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Imagine the agonizing aspect of that prayer because sweat drops of blood came from his forehead. That's a proven medical aspect. When a person is so under stress that they can actually sweat blood from their foreheads. Why? Well, he prayed for the cup to be removed. Remember, Jesus was sinless. And he knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that he was going to bear the sins and the iniquities of us all. And he was going to become sin on our behalf. And you know what? He also knows sin separates him from God. He experienced that, didn't he? Didn't he? Yeah. But let's think about it. Can you imagine all the agonizing pain and things that he was going through on that cross and hanging there and his hands and feet being nailed and all the things that he was scourged. He had these thorns pressed down on his brow. And I mean, think of all he was going through, and yet he could look down on these people and he could pray, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, I think sometimes maybe we don't know what we're doing if we don't spend time in prayer, okay? I want to challenge you today again to be devoted to prayer. And there are two essential must-be's that must be found in our prayer life. And we found them in our text today. And I think we need to just, again, make it clear. So he says, devote yourselves to prayer. What does the word devote mean? Give yourself to it consistently. You be devoted to it completely. Devote yourself to the to prayer. That's what he said. Devote yourself, and then what? Keeping alert in it. Keeping alert in it, okay? That's the first thing he says that we need to do. What? Keep alert while you're praying. Now, stay with me. This is so significant. Because the Bible says, why be alert? Why in the world does it warn us to be alert? If you look up the aspect of alert, it implies that there's danger. It implies that there's something you need to be aware of, and you better be looking for, and you better be anticipating the aspects of that. Be alert. Be alert while you're praying. While you're praying in it, be alert. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Paul says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert. Be on alert, and pray for me, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known all the boldness, the mystery of the gospel. Well, in Colossians, Paul tells us what the mystery of the gospel is. Anybody know what it is? It had been hidden for generations and now has been revealed unto you and I, the church. What is it? Christ in you. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You knew it, didn't you? Okay, that's free this morning. That's not even a part of the message. I just wanted to be understood that you and I right now, sitting here, can honestly say, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ who lives in me. Now, if Christ lives in us, and Jesus spent all that time in prayer, what do you think the Spirit of Christ in us would be motivating and moving us to do? Spending time with the Father in heaven and praying just like he did, maybe? Okay? Paul states in Colossians 1:18, again, that mystery is Christ in you. So be alert. How many of you, when you're driving, have heard over and over again, you better be alert while you're driving, Jim? You're the truck driver. Anybody, a truck driver, knows why. People are crazy out there. I'm sorry, but, you know, I consider myself basically a safe driver. Okay? But I'm more alert to what over on the other four-lane highway, you know. I'm constantly watching cars coming my way, even over on the other side. Why? Because I've seen a lot of accidents from people coming across and whatever. I'm constantly aware of what's happening behind me. Okay? And people that are coming up behind me. Because I've seen people get rear-ended by people who fallen asleep at the car, at the wheel. Haven't you seen that? Huh? So when you're driving, the best thing for you and I to really understand this word is you better be alert. You better be alert of all the danger. Because every time you get in that car, believe it or not, you're taking your life into your own hands. Isn't that right? Huh? Yeah, you are. And maybe somebody else's. So you better stay alert, right? You're not going to fall asleep at the wheel, right? How many of you have fallen asleep praying? Don't worry about it. That's okay. You know, the aspects of it are point, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Sober-minded, meaning sensible. When you think of somebody getting drunk, they get sober. When somebody's drunk, they're under the influence, and they're not thinking straight. Never forget the first time in my first ministry, I went over to counsel a guy who, in 3 in the morning, because his wife called me and said, my husband's drunker than drunk, can you come over and help me? I went over there and spent 2 hours with him. Went back the next day, he don't even remember me being there. I should have known better, being my dad was an alcoholic. Mom, I mean, I should have known that's true. And people need, in the aspects of that, we need to be sober-minded. That means we're thinking straight. We're of one mind. We're not double-minded. Double-minded people are unstable in every way. You can't approach God being double-minded. We need to be single-minded. And when we approach God, we need to approach him in faith, right? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Did you know that the Bible says over and over, be on alert? Huh? Not be on alert. It implies danger, doesn't it? Why should we be on alert? Are you listening? Verizon may say, can you hear me now? Okay? Because listen to what 1 Peter 5:8 says. 1 Peter 5:8. Be anxious. No, I'm sorry. I turned too many pages. There we go. 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, roars and prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in the faith. It's interesting, isn't it? Be on the alert. Be on alert. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is prowling about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Be on alert. Why? Because you have an adversary. And when is he going to attack you more? When is he going to try to do whatever he can do to stop your prayers from ascending to God and the bowls being filled? You don't think he knows the power of prayer? You don't think he understands what can happen if God's people would approach the throne of God and release God's power in the universe and the world in their personal lives? You bet he does. And he's going to attack you when you're praying. He's going to stop you, first of all, if he can. He's going to keep us from praying. He's going to keep us too busy. I'm too busy. I don't have time to pray. Good grief. You don't know how busy I am. Well, okay. Just go ahead. Keep right on. Because my Bible says in Ephesians 6, and 11, that I'm to put on the full armor of God that I might stand against the schemes of the devil. You mean Satan knows me well enough? He knows how to scheme against me? And the only way I can resist him is to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It goes on there and says in the same chapter, chapter 6 and verse 16, finally, above all, put up the shield of faith that ye might protect you against the fiery arrows of the evil one. Oh, wow. So not only does he warn me that Satan is a schemer, he warns me that Satan is continually bombarding me with his arrows, trying to destroy what? My faith. He wants to destroy my faith. He wants the shield down because that's the only thing that I can resist him with is my faith in Almighty God. He knows that. He understands that. So he's going to attack your faith, isn't he? Why? Because if you don't ask in faith, believing, God's not going to answer. He can't. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? Get it? You see in the picture here? Why you need to be alert? Well, the first thing he does and the aspects of that is that he's seeking to devour. And so then what he said, resist him. You resist him first before you start praying. You make him very aware of the fact you know what he's going to try to do. That he's going to try to defer you. He's going to try to get your mind on other things. He's going to keep you from really speaking what your heart knows you need to speak. He's going to confuse your mind. He's going to do everything to keep you from really, honestly opening up your heart and keeping it. He's going to distract you. He's going to do whatever he can to cause your mind to wander, to drift, and so on. I would suggest to you that what I do, and you don't have to do what I do, but I write my outline of my prayer before I go so he can't do that to me. There's nothing wrong with me expressing my heart, outlining what I want to go to God with, and then in a spirit of prayer, go before God. Because how many of your minds drift? Huh? How many of you lose your concentration? And how many of you lose your focus and the aspects of prayer? Because that's exactly what he wants to keep you from being able to do. He can cause you and cause us to doubt God. He can cause you to doubt God. He can cause our hearts to be troubled with fear and with anxiety. Can he not? And all that aspects of life, he can do that because he is a God of this world. He's the prince of this world. in every aspect of that. Isn't it amazing how even your government tries to control and have people have been overwhelmed, controlled in the ages by the government causing people to be fearful? You understand what I just said? Because then they're going to become our provider. They're going to protect us. They're going to be able to be. And you know how naive, uneducated, unknowledgeable people can believe that kind of lie? You see, they can't give to you what they don't have. That's what the biblical text. They'll promise you anything, but they can't fulfill their promise. You know God is in control, don't you? Huh? He is sovereign, not your government. Right? The aspect of that, I'm just wanting you to know how important it is today for you and I as Christians. If we're going to save this country, we need to be praying for God to move and raise up men and women of faith who will stand with boldness against what's going on and the drifting that's happening in our country right now. He will get us to try and manipulate God. Have you ever done that lately? I've counseled people. Well, man, I've tried to. I read the Bible every day, and I pray, and I do all of this. And when why doesn't God bless me? Oh, whoa. You see anything wrong with what I just said? Huh? Isn't that trying to manipulate God? God, I'll do my part, so you better do yours. Got it? Well, how about if you will even tempt God? You know how many times we tempt him? You know how many times we bargain with him? You know, God is not a God to be bargained with. You know, no. God wants us to come in faith with a sincere and a heart with pure motives because we know how dependent we are on him. Amen? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in proper time. Amen? God will take care of the humble, but he is against the proud. He hates it. He really does. He will get us to get frustrated with God. He wants us frustrated with God. Because when we're offering our $1.25 prayer to God, we're all anticipating, like we put a $1.25 into a vending machine, God's going to give us a $1 million answer. When's the last time you kicked a vending machine? Did it hurt? When's the last time you kicked God? Because you offered him a little bit of this, expecting that he's going to give you all of this. You understand what I'm saying? You got to give God all of you first. Right? God wants you. He wants all of you. Okay? So in James 4, 7, and 8, listen to this. James 4, 7, and 8. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You get it? You need to be aware. You need to be alert. You need to understand that there's danger. Satan is going to attack you more than any other time when you're trying to pray to God. Because if he knows that God hears, God will respond and God will move. And I guarantee you, Satan and hell quivers when people of God pray in faith. Because they know, Satan knows, God's going to do something. Amen? 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 Then, what else does he say? Keep an alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at all time and the same time for us as well. Two alerts, two aspects. Be alert and maintain a proper attitude of thanksgiving. Maintain a proper attitude of thanksgiving. That is a must be. That must be approach that you and I have in our aspect. Be devoted to prayer, yes. Be on alert in it, but have an attitude when you're praying of what? Being thankful. Being thankful. You remember Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. with thanksgiving, okay? And then make your request be made known to God. Now, what's your most important word in that verse? Be anxious for nothing? No, I don't think so. Praying and supplicating on the will of God? I don't think so. I believe the most powerful word in that verse to protect you that Satan can't use and Satan can't approach is when you're going to God in an attitude of thanksgiving, there is no way Satan can permeate. If you truly are grateful to God, Satan cannot approach you in your prayer life. I believe that's essential for a must-be. If you're going to go to God, you're not only alert, but if you want to protect yourself and resist him, develop an attitude of being grateful to God for every good and perfect gift that comes down from your Father in heaven, who is no variation of light. He is immune. He's an unchanging God. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He really does. You got to believe that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What? In everything give thanks. How in the world can you thank him for all your problems and difficulties and whatever, you know? How do you do that? In everything. Everything is pretty conclusive, isn't it? Huh? Well, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? Do you have the faith to believe that there is a God in heaven who controls every aspect of your life and can control it, and that he is able to cause and make all things work together for your good if you love him and are seeking his purpose? Do you believe in that kind of a God? God is so good. Amen? He is a good God. And I don't care what has happened or gone on in our lives. If we put our lives into the hands of Almighty God, trusting him and praying for his will to be done, there is nothing that God cannot do. He can take all your life and all your mistakes and everything you've done, and he can bring it together and make an unbelievable, beautiful picture out of your life. He makes something beautiful out of our lives, doesn't he? Can he? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And so as we have that quality of faith, the aspects of it, God's will for Bill Horton is to be grateful. And when I go to God, then I am to approach him with an attitude of thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There is so much in our lives to be grateful for. Amen? Yes, there is. Colossians 3:16 and 17, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you came here this morning with a heart full of gratitude and thanksgiving, and you came here anticipating the ability to lift up your voice and praise him? Now think about it. Isn't that why we come? To praise him, to give him the glory, to thank him for all the good things he's doing in our lives. And then it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I could go on. There are many scriptures that said things about being thankful, grateful, so on. So the two must-be's are, number one, you're going to go to God in prayer, keep alert in it. Why? Because your adversary is going to do whatever he can to keep that prayer from reaching God. You understand that? And so the first thing he's going to attack is your faith. Don't approach God. And the next thing he's going to attack is your attitude. How you are approaching God. Okay? The aspect, of course, is that we approach God with an attitude of what? Thanksgiving. Praying at all times for us as well. There it is. Two must be. Be alert. Be grateful. May I suggest something to you again this morning? That if you and I rejoice, and again, the Bible says rejoice, if we are a spirit of rejoicing, and if we maintain an attitude of thanksgiving, and when we go to God, we're first of all going in this attitude of being grateful and thankful, and we approach God in that spirit, I believe we're shutting the door on Satan's ability to interfere with our prayer life. Now, you may not agree with me, but I really believe that's where we can shut the door. That God wants a people who have experienced his goodness, and they are grateful. Grateful to God for everything. What is there in your life that wasn't and hasn't been given to you by the God of heaven? So if you will, I would appreciate it with you right now standing up with me, okay? I know, you're tired of sitting, so go ahead and stand. All right? You're standing now. How many of you are really thankful for Jesus Christ? You're thankful for Jesus Christ. You're thankful for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Your salvation. Thankful, right? How many of you know the little chorus, "Thank You, Lord"? Let's sing it. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father and God, we thank you for this opportunity to again remind us of how important it is that we enter into our prayer closet, into our prayer time with an attitude of being grateful, being thankful for every good thing that we indeed have received in this life. We know, God, you will not allow us to be tried above what we can stand. You will indeed rescue us and give us a spirit of endurance. We're grateful, God, that there is no need we have that you cannot supply it. But we also are aware that there is a spirit of evil in the world today, the devil, who realizes the power that there is invested in people coming, seeking, knocking, asking. And what will happen, indeed, if those prayers ascend and get into the very throne of God, where you sit, waiting, anticipating the prayers of the saints. So God, help us to be alert and aware of it. Help us to make preparation that we will enter into your presence again with thanksgiving. Bless us, Lord, that we will not allow Satan to defer our time, our energy, and our faith, that when we ask, believing, that God, you will respond, you will bless, and your will be done. So be with us as a body. Help us to be a people of prayer, praying for one another, praying for the church universal, praying for the kingdom of God to continue to grow, whether it be in China, whether it be in India, whether it be here in our own states, God, we need to be praying for all saints, for the church, that it will stand firm and strong and be alert to all the things that Satan is doing today. So I thank you for each one that's here today. I pray your blessings upon us, that we will be a people of prayer, and that we will see that prayer indeed does change things, not only in our own personal lives, but in the lives of others. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.